Okay, thank you very much. My name is Jennifer DeBrun. I'm an associate professor at the University of Tennessee, and I'm going to be telling you a bit about my group's work on biodegradable plastic mulches, focusing in particular on their influence on soil health. So if you're not familiar with plastic mulches as a technology, these are plastic films that are used to cover the soil surface, primarily used for weed suppression, preventing evaporation, moisture control, and modifying temperatures, soil temperatures, warming in the spring and cooling in the summer. They convey numerous agronomic benefits. We typically see improved crop yields and fruit quality, and so they are adopted by growers worldwide. Globally, about 1.4 million tons of plastic agricultural mulches are projected for 2017. North America is about 8 or 9% of the market. China is the vast majority of plastic mulch consumption, and they're growing at a rate of about 7% per year. So a lot of plastic being consumed in China. The majority of these plastic mulches are made of polyethylene. This is a petroleum-derived feedstock that is not biodegradable. It has some significant environmental consequences. So these plastics, after their life use, which is about a growing season, must be removed from the field and disposed of. So they're either taken to a landfill where you have to pay tipping fees. They are not accepted at most recycling facilities because of the adherent soil. Most recycling facilities will not take them. Growers that are trying to avoid landfilling costs or disposal costs will often illegally burn or illegally bury these plastics. And we also know that in developing parts of the world, it's common practice to till these polyethylene plastic mulches into the soil. So these plastics don't go anywhere, so you're left with these fragments of plastics that are input year after year and will remain in the soils for years or decades. So it's a significant environmental problem. Biodegradable plastic mulches are potentially a more sustainable alternative to these polyethylene plastics. They are made of polymers, typically with ester bonds, so they're more amenable to microbial hydrolysis. So what it means is at the end of the growing season, instead of having to remove these plastics from the field, they're tilled into the soil, and the resident soil microflora should be able to degrade these mulches, and they should be reduced to carbon dioxide and microbial biomass if they're working properly. So they do have a good potential as a sustainable alternative to polyethylene mulches. What we're still evaluating is whether this is a good technology, and in order for it to be a good alternative, we need to demonstrate that these biodegradable mulches have equal benefits to the polyethylene mulch, that they do reduce labor costs for removal and disposal. A lot of growers are attracted to this technology because they don't have to pay for the labor of removing those polyethylene plastics in the season and the disposal costs associated with it. These products do need to completely biodegrade to be viable, and we have to show that they're not causing harm to soil ecology or environment. And that's kind of what I'm focusing on here today is this last point about potential effects on soil ecology. This is something that both growers and regulators are necessarily concerned about. You're tilling something into the soil, we got to know that it's going to be okay. Because this is an organic production session, just to bring you up to speed on where BDMs are in the organic landscape, in North America, none of the commercially available biodegradable mulch products are allowed in organic production for reasons that I could get into later, but we'll take too much time right now. In Europe, in the EU, BDMs are allowed for organic and even biodynamic production. So the picture you see on the right here is actually a picture I took this summer of a biodynamic certified farm in Spain, where they have been using biodegradable mulches for 17 years and are ecstatic with the product. So a little bit different depending on what part of the world you're in. So I'm part of a team consisting of researchers from University of Tennessee, Washington State University, and Montana State University. We're funded by the USDA to look at the performance and adoptability of biodegradable mulches kind of from a transdisciplinary approach. So we're looking at a variety of aspects related to this technology. We're looking at impacts on agroecosystem health, so what's the effect of long-term use of this product in terms of both crop production and soil health. How are they affecting disease or pest rates? We're looking at the technical performance of these mulches. So how are they actually degrading when they're supposed to be degrading? How does this vary by region and soil type? And what are the mechanisms of degradation? Can we better understand the process of in-soil degradation of these plastics? We also have groups looking at the technology adoption aspects. So what are the economics of using these products? And what are the perceptions and potential barriers for adopting this technology for the system? So again, for this talk, I'm mostly focusing on this first area, which is the agroecosystem health aspect, and in particular, soil health. So as part of this project, we're running field trials in two locations, Mount Vernon, Washington, and Knoxville, Tennessee. So we've got two different soil types, two different climates. As part of this field trial, which will run 5 years, we're 2 years into a five-year trial, we're evaluating three biodegradable mulch products that are commercially available, one experimental film, a cellulosic paper mulch, which is kind of a positive control, if you will, a conventional polyethylene mulch, which is a negative control, and then also bare ground control. These are conventionally managed field trials, and you can see the mulch being laid and holes put into place and planting. All our fields are outfitted with soil moisture and temperature sensors so we can keep track of what's going on below ground. The first 2 years of the trial, the fields were planted in pie pumpkins, and we're monitoring the performance of the mulches and looking at, if I can get my pointer. There it is. So we're looking at mulch performance in terms of soil exposure and degradation. We're monitoring soil quality and crop production, fruit quality, and all those above ground aspects as well. So in terms of what's going on in the soil during these first 2 years, the sensors give us a good sense of how the mulches are performing in terms of modifying the soil temperature and moistures. And what we see is that all the mulch products, regardless of composition, are serving to change that soil environment. So our bare ground control is the blue line. This pointer doesn't come up very well. There we go. So the blue line is the bare ground control, and that you can see in the spring, compared to all of that, the mulches are serving to warm the soil. And in the summer, during the hotter months, those mulches actually serve to keep those soil temperatures down a little bit. In terms of comparing the biodegradable products, which are shown in the brownish colors, compared to conventional polyethylene, which is shown in the black, we see that the mulches are warming soil, but not quite as much as the polyethylene, so they don't seem to have as much of a temperature effect. We're also taking discrete measures 2 times per year during this trial to look at a variety of aspects of soil quality. A whole laundry list of physical, chemical, and biological assays that we are measuring. To give you some example data, this is just 4 of the many parameters we're looking at. We're seeing differences by season, but to date we're not seeing differences by treatment. And in fact, when we aggregate all of our soil quality measures, all the physical and chemical aspects into one soil quality index, which is one way of data reduction for this many variables, we're not seeing significant differences between treatments to date. This was interesting. We were sort of expecting that the biodegradable mulches may perform comparably to the polyethylene mulch, but we thought we may see a difference between the bare ground controls, and we're not seeing that, but we're only 2 years into this five-year project. We're also looking at biological aspects of the soil, so examining the soil microbial communities. We're assessing this in terms of microbial abundance, bacterial fungal abundance, community composition, and even functional activity in terms of enzyme activities. What you see here are some of our bacterial composition data. And without getting into it, the story so far has been that we're seeing seasonal differences, but not treatment differences. The one thing we have noticed that we'll be tracking is that one of our biodegradable mulches does seem to be increasing fungal abundance over bacterial abundance. That's something that we're going to be tracking over the next couple years. We're also looking at the biogeochemical cycling in the soil, so how the soil is functioning, and in particular with respect to carbon cycling. And what you see here is the change in total organic carbon in the soils over the first 2 years of the project in Tennessee and Washington. We had And the way this is graphed is that a zero means that there's no difference over 2 years. A positive number is an increase, and a negative number is the decrease. So we had different responses in terms of increase decrease in Tennessee and Washington, but we actually had kind of similar patterns in the treatment. So with the polyethylene and the cellulose, which is kind of our negative and positive mulches, so here you see here, they had the least gain in TOC in Tennessee, and the most loss in Washington compared to the biodegradable mulches, which are the last four bars here, where we see more increases in Tennessee and less losses in Washington. So this is very preliminary data, but it is suggesting that biodegradable mulches may be mitigating carbon losses from the soil. So that's certainly something else we're tracking. The final bit of data I wanted to show you was some of the in-situ degradation work we're doing. So basically, we want to see how well these products are actually degrading in the soils. What we've done here is taken mulches that have been field weather for a season, so they've been exposed to UV for a season. We cut them into squares, sew them into nylon mesh bags, bury them in the soil, and retrieve those bags one every 6 months to look at mulch fragmentation. So it's not true biodegradation, but it's deterioration of those mulches. And so we're doing that at both locations as well. And so here's some of our early data showing how much of that original mulch square is remaining over time. And we see that all the mulches are degrading, or all the biodegradable mulches are degrading, not the polyethylene, which is in black. But we're seeing different patterns by location. So for example, in Knoxville, we see that this organics biodegradable mulch is degrading quite quickly, whereas in Mount Vernon, it's one of the poorer performers. So this is showing us that there's some geographical variation in the performance of these products, and that biodegradable mulches may not be a one-size-fits-all technology. So again, something else we'll be monitoring. So just to summarize some of the data and the take-home messages that I covered here today, we're seeing so far that biodegradable mulches are performing comparably to polyethylene mulches in terms of the soil modification, the temperature and moisture aspects. After 2 years, we haven't noted adverse effects on physical, chemical, or biological properties of the soil. We are seeing maybe some evidence that there's going to be some influence on carbon cycling. And finally, the in-situ biodegradation rates of these products seems to be varying geographically. So with that, I would just like to take a moment to acknowledge all the team members that work on this project and our funding source. And if you're interested in biodegradable mulches, in terms of their suitability for organic production, my colleagues put out a nice review this year in Hort Science, and so I would direct you to that. Thank you.
We have time for one question.
Yeah. Sure.
So are the companies working with you? Are they excited about this news? And then what will it take to get them certified?
That's a long answer. Yes. So we actually have...
If you speak into the mic, it'll get recorded.
Sure. We have four different biodegradable mulch manufacturers that are actually sit on the advisory board for this. So they're extremely excited about seeing this work done because they want to see that their products are working or not working. They just want data on it, really. So the current NOP regulation is that biodegradable mulches for organic agriculture have to be 100% bio-based. And that's the constraint that they're running into because none of the currently available products are 100% bio-based. So many of these biodegradable polymer components they're synthetically produced. So they're biodegradable, but they're not bio-based because those are two different things. And that's the hang-up in the certification process. So they're all currently petitioning to have this changed, particularly following the European model. So we'll see what happens in the next 2 years. That's the short answer to obviously a complicated question. Thank you.